Turn with me, Paul's letter to Ephesians. Paul's letter to Ephesians. I was wondering which book I supposed to preach after Colossians. So, me and Pastor Sammy, both of us decided to take Ephesians, which is a wonderful book. Even I am waiting for it to study, to understand what Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. I was studying different books about this epistle of Ephesians. I have learned how this epistle impacted many readers. I read testimonies that many have been brought to faith by its message and encouraged to do good works by its message. This epistle can save sinners if sinner is reading this epistle. Such a great epistle. Robinson, Dean of Westminster of England, called it the crown of Saint Paul's writing. It is a crown of Saint Paul's writing. Someone said this epistle is the queen of the epistles. Queen of the epistles. Do you know, brothers and sisters, John Calvin called this epistle as his favorite book of the Bible. Even John Stott, one of the famous commentators, he said about this letter, he said like this: the letter to Ephesians is a marvelously concise, yet comprehensive summary of the Christian good news and its implications. Nobody can read it without being moved to wonder and worship and challenged to consistency of life. If you read this epistle, you can worship the Lord. You can understand who God is, what He has done for you and me. Then you start worshiping the Lord. Then you can have consistency of life, godly life, if you read this epistle. That's what godly men are saying. That's why even John Calvin loves this epistle. But in this epistle, I want to remind you basic things, like six basic things that we should know. They are: who is author, who is recipient, and also we should know date, and we need to understand what is the theme and purpose of this epistle, so that we can understand why we need to read this epistle, why this epistle is so important to Christian life, as well as outline. Just we can look at who is the author. Who is the author of this epistle? Anybody? Paul, an apostle. If you see chapter 1, verse 1 of Ephesians, you can read that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Then if you read chapter 3, we are going to look at many verses in this epistle because it is introduction to this epistle. Please follow me along with me as I am reading so many verses in this epistle. If you see chapter 3 verse 1, it says, for this reason, I, Paul. Can you see? There is no doubt about the authorship of Paul. Paul is the author of this epistle. Who received this letter? Who received this letter? If you see, recipient is Ephesians. This letter is general in nature. It is not, there is no corrections in this letter. If you think about Galatians, Colossians, Corinthians, they have lots of problems, right? Paul was addressing their problems and he is adding the truth. He is helping them to know the truth, to protect them from false teachers, to correct them from ungodliness. But this epistle is not like that. This epistle is general in nature. Any church can read, directly applies to any church. That is the beauty of this letter. But if you tradition says that, many scholars says, this letter is not primarily written to Ephesians. Because Ephesians, that word, that title, is missing in many manuscripts, earlier manuscripts. But we need to know that, but this epistle has been sent to Ephesus first, primarily. Then it has to be circulated to other churches in Asia Minor. That's what tradition says. Because this Ephesus is capital of that Asia Minor. Asia Minor. It is not limited to one church. But you need to understand the background of this Ephesus, city Ephesus. Ephesus is the mission center for all the cities in Asia Minor. That's why Paul, he has sent this letter to Ephesus. From there, this letter has to be circulated to other churches in Asia Minor. For that reason, why people say this is not only Ephesus, Ephesians, it is for everybody in Asia Minor. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. It says, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." But you know, right? Paul have been there. He know Ephesians. But here he is saying, "I heard of your faith." That shows it is not primarily to Ephesians. It is to other churches in Asia Minor. So that is the recipient. Ephesians and other churches in Asia Minor. So that shows this letter is primarily to Cornerstone Community Church as well. This applies to us. We can learn truth from this epistle. That's what I want to encourage you. A third thing is date. During the first Roman imprisonment, between AD 60 and 62, Paul wrote this epistle. This is the one of the prison epistle. If you see, how can you say that? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ," Christ Jesus. Can you see that? If you see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, which says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." Chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains." Can you see that Paul wrote this epistle from Roman imprisonment? So that was the background. But this epistle wrote along with Colossians and Philemon as well. Why I'm saying, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 to 22, which says, "How I am doing Tychicus, the beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you." Tychicus, or Tychicus, carrying this letter to Ephesus. And also he has taken Colossians as well, that we have seen in last series. You know, right? Tychicus, or Tychicus, has taken these two letters. So this fact shows that these two letters written in the same time during between like 60 and 62, any time. But we need to understand the background as well. Do you know what is the background of this Ephesus city? Paul visited Ephesus and he left Priscilla and Aquila at the end of his second missionary journey. Probably the gospel first brought to this by Aquila and Priscilla, including Paul. Paul stayed some days. I don't know how long he stayed in Ephesus. Then he left Priscilla and Aquila to stay there and to preach gospel. Then we know the fact this city was the commercial center of Asia Minor. It had a ship harbor. It is like Goa. You can compare Ephesus with Goa. Everything is there. like Panjim. I can say Panaji, Punji, Punji, they call, right? It is connected to, like almost similar to Panaji. This was also related. It is a famous religious center. Not only commercial center, it is also religious center. The famous temple of Diana or Artemis was in this city. This structure was considered to be one of the seven wonders of the world, ancient world. So how they constructed this temple, it was one of the seven wonders of the world those days. That temple is there. Not only it is religious center, it is political center. Where is chief minister in Goa? Panjim, right? So the all leaders stays in that city. It is a political center and also educational center. The people come to Panjim, right, from villages in Goa to study higher education, because all educations stays and conducted in Panjim. This is same as well. Even text says that Paul stayed in Ephesus for 3 years on his third missionary journey. Such a long time, Paul shepherded this church. He preached the gospel. He taught the scripture. Then what happened? Paul's preaching hurt the business of magic and images, selling images, leading huge opposition against Paul at Ephesus theater. You know, Pastor Sammy was sharing about that pictures, how big it is, that theater. Almost around 20,000 people were opposing Paul because Paul was preaching the gospel. They almost tried to kill Paul, but God saved his life. Then he went on to another place, Macedonia. As he was traveling to Jerusalem in return, he met with Ephesians elders at Miletus. Can you see that? Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 38. You know, this church was pastored by Timothy for several months, probably 1 year and off. 1.5 years, Timothy pastored, because Paul said, so I am leaving, there are some false teachers here, you need to shepherd the congregation. That's why he wrote 1 Timothy, right? 1 Timothy, he wrote. Even you can see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, you can turn with me that. Paul says, chapter 1, verse 3, as I urge you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus. So Timothy was pastoring this church. So this was the background that you need to know. If you don't know this background of what is the city of Ephesus, this city is a center of commercial economy. This city is religious center and also political center, educational center, that we need to understand why Paul is writing this epistle. Then we can move on. The fifth thing that we need to know, the theme, which is most important thing that we need to study about this epistle. What is the theme? Why Paul wrote this epistle? If you see, to understand key theme, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. You can read along with me that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, which says, please, you can read with me, along with me. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Can you see? This is the key verse in this epistle. This covers full epistle. Can you see that he is saying something to Ephesians that you should walk? That is principle. What is the motivation? According to the worthy of the calling with which you have been called. There is a great calling, but there is a responsibility to walk. So that is the theme. Conduct that matches the great calling. That is the theme of this episode. Conduct that matches the great calling. You brothers and sisters, you have great calling, but there is a responsibility. You need to walk according to that great calling. That is the message. That is the purpose. That is the theme of this epistle. The simple way to say Christian practices that matches Christian doctrine. So there is a practices of Christians. There is a doctrine of Christians. Both should match. It's like, no, sometimes what happens, people disconnect doctrine with practice. Paul is reminding in this epistle, you should not disconnect doctrine and practice. You should connect together. If you have true doctrine, you should have true practices. That's what Paul is saying. Our life should match the great calling. The knowing the truth is not that much great, brothers and sisters. But practicing the truth proves that you know the truth in right way. We often, as I said before, we should not disconnect doctrine from practice. Both are connected. Electrical power, right? If you see electrical power, there is power, right? Then fans are running. ACs are running. Because there is power, electricity, there is light, there is action. If these things are not happening, if ACs are not running, if fans are not running, what is the problem? There is no power. There is no power. But what happened in Christian life, we have doctrines, we know doctrine, but we don't walk according to the doctrine. But Paul is urging them, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, I beg you. Implore means begging the congregation, begging Christians. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, according to the great calling. To get a driving license, we need to go through two tests, right, in India. The first test is writing test. The second test is driving test. One who gets pass marks in the writing test, then he is qualified for driving test. When he passes the driving test, then he will go for driving license. He will get driving license. The first test is theoretical. The second test is practical. So you won't get driving license if you won't pass two tests, right? You need to know what are the signals, what are the rules. Then you need to get good marks in that. When you qualified for that, you need to do driving test. What happens if you know only the theory about how to drive a car, but you don't know how to apply that doctrine, that theory when you are driving? What will happen? Tell with me. Accident will happen, right? But something is strange even in when you take driving license. Somebody I asked, do you have driving license? I have driving license for two-wheelers and four-wheelers. Do you know how to drive car? I don't know how to drive car. But how did you get driving license for four-wheeler? Then he said, then in RTO office, they have one car. Then somebody will sit beside you. He is operating everything. Just you sit there where you seat belt. Just you go forward. Then no RTO officer will sanction your four-wheeler license. These things will happen where? In the society. That is very bad, right? That person can kill somebody else. That person doesn't know how to drive, but he can kill if he does not know how to drive. Even though he knows the theory well. But these things should not happen in the church. Paul urging, begging the church, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the great calling with which you have been called. Paul commands believers not to know the truth about God only, but to live according to that. Brothers and sisters, knowledge makes us prideful, boastful, and we are not imitating Christ, but we have so much in our mind. We are listening again and again, again and again. The Word of God, you are reading every day. You are filling your mind with the Word of God, but you know the doctrine, but you are not acting according to the doctrine. That's the problem. That's the problem of every church. Paul wants to deal that problem in Ephesian church along with other churches. Especially the Holy Spirit wants us to walk in a manner worthy of the great call. This is the example of Paul, right? If you read Paul's letter, brothers and sisters, you know well, if you read Romans chapter 1 to 11, he talks about doctrine. Chapter 12 to 16, he talks about practice. If you read Colossians chapter 1 and 2, he talks about doctrine. Chapter 3 and 4, he talks about practice. If you read Galatians as well, same thing. In the same way Paul is writing, he wrote doctrine from verse 1 to 3, 4 to 6, he writes practice. I often hear, amen, when people are excited about Christ, what Christ is doing in their life, that is not bad. Praise God, we should say amen. But sad thing is, I never heard in my life, if when pastor is preaching, you need to come out of that sin. No one says amen. The Paul is saying same thing. That is the message of Ephesians. You need to say amen when who Christ is. When you understand what Christ is doing, but you need to say amen when you hear the right walk with the Lord. Both are same. Again, I am saying you cannot separate power and running fan and ACs. Both are connected. Both are connected. But we need to understand the principle. First of all, we can see principle, walk. You can see walk. If you read that Ephesians, if you have so much time, I hope you have time, you can read Ephesians again and again to understand the message to Ephesians. But in this verse, chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, walk. Not only there, if you see chapter 2, verse 10, please, you need to follow me. As I am reading, you need to look at the scripture to understand what is the theme. Now we are looking at principle of the theme. Chapter 2, verse 10, which says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Can you see that? God prepared beforehand so that result, the goal, you should walk in them. You would walk in them. Not only there, chapter 4 verse 17 says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. Can you see? Gentiles walk in a way that is sinful way. Please don't walk like Gentiles. That's what he's saying. But Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. Don't conduct yourself as a Gentile. Ephesians 5 2. Walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you. Conduct yourself in love just as Christ. Ephesians 5 8. Which says, walk as a children of light. Can you see repeatedly Paul is saying again and again, walk, walk. I know, brothers and sisters, you know doctrine. You know who Christ is. You know the truth, but you are not walking according to the doctrine. That's why Paul is repeating again and again, walk, walk, walk. Ephesians 5:15, again he says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Walk as wise man. Don't walk as Gentiles. Walk in the light. Walk in the love of Christ. So this is the principle. Then you may ask me, Are you are giving lots of burden to us. You are saying walk, conduct, conduct. What is the motivation? The motivation was written already. Chapter 1, 2, 3. Paul does not say simply, do this, do this, do this. That will become legalism, right? Paul is not saying, do this, do this. Paul motivated from chapter 1 to 3 what Christ has done. that is connected to the great call, motivation. You can see the motivation is the great call. Because God called us. You can see, right, chapter 4, what Paul says, in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So there is a great calling. We received the great calling. Result of that, what happened? He saved us. He redeemed us. And he sealed us. That's the reason we won't lose our salvation in our life. Sometimes we are worried about our salvation, right? I may lose my salvation because you are thinking you can achieve the salvation by your hard work. No, never. You can achieve the salvation completely because of what God has done in our life. God saved us, God called us, and he saved us, redeemed us, and sealed as well in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells in us. He does not leave us. He will accomplish us our salvation up to redemption, up to glory. That's what is called for salvation before the foundation of the world. Foundation of the world. You did not choose God. God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. That's the motivation. That's the motivation. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He predestined us. Verse 5, he says, then it says, he sealed us by the Holy Spirit. Not only that, he saved and redeemed and sealed us. He gave us new life. He gave us new life. You can read chapter 2, verse 1. You can read chapter 2, verse 1. We were dead in our transgressions. We were not able to respond to God. We were dead people spiritually. You know how much dead person you are in your sinful nature. You know how much sinful you are. You are not seeking God, but what happened? He gave us new life. He gave us new life. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, being in mercy, because of his great love with which loved us, and made us alive together with Christ Jesus, with him. Can you see that? He gave new life. That's the motivation. You are sitting here, brothers and sisters. You did not come accidentally. No. Don't think that you are seeking God. Don't think that you came here early morning to worship the Lord by yourself. No. God has chosen you. Then he saved you. He gave you new life. That's the reason you are here. That's the reason you are here. Not only that, not only he gave us new life, he made us one body. Can you see this beautiful truth? In the world, so many distinctions, right? So many distinctions. Sometimes people bad about South Indians like me. We won't speak Hindi language. But somebody hears, you don't know Hindi? You don't know Hindi? I don't know. I born in South India. South Indians won't speak Hindi. Unfortunately, they love their own language. What to do? Then what happens? No, there is so much distinction, right, in languages. And distinction between poor and rich. Distinction between, like, no, higher class and lower class. So many distinction in the world. But the greatest news, do you know, brothers and sisters? We are all one body. Amen. One body. We are all one body. There is no partiality towards any language, any people, any tribe in the world. Jesus is same to all people. He saves all people from all generations. The one more beauty is he makes one body. One body. He is the head. Those truths were there in this epistle. Are you excited to study? I am so excited to study this epistle. It will bless you, brothers and sisters. You will be moved in worshiping the Lord. Great truth, great truth. But just I am giving, like what to say, just I am encouraging that. I am increasing your excitement by putting these words. If you see chapter 2, verse 13, please read with me. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, which says, we were far off, have been brought near, and he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Can you see? There is a dividing wall. Those are called languages, races, and many statuses, right? But there is a dividing wall. Jesus Christ, praise God, he has broken it. All of us one. All are one body. There is no distinction between Jews and Gentiles, Greeks, slaves, and bosses, masters. No distinction. All are one body. He made us one body. He made us one body. You know, in Indian church history, when people are not allowed to go to worship in the temples, right? Because there is a distinction in the world. But Jesus is not like that. Because he is true God. He loves his people. He created each and every one of them. He saves them. Not only that, he reveals the mystery. You can see, he revealed the mystery. Chapter 3, you can read that. The mystery is both are one. Both are one. And he blessed us in Christ richly. The one more truth, no? If you read Ephesians, brothers and sisters, you can see riches of his glory, riches of his mercy and grace. You can read these praises again and again. But no, in Christ. In Christ. The phrase in Christ are its corresponding praises like with him, in him, through him, appears about 35 times. Can you read? Next time you note 35 times. These phrases were written in Ephesians. In Christ, through him, in him. For example, faithful in Christ, 1:1. In the heavenly places in Christ, 1:3. Chosen in him, chapter 1, verse 4. Adopted through Christ, chapter 1, verse 5. In the beloved, chapter 1, verse 6. Redeemed in him, chapter 1, verse 7. Sealed in him. Chapter 1, verse 13, made alive together with him. Chapter 2, verse 5, raised and seated with him. Chapter 2, verse 6, a partaker of the promise in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 6. Again and again, you can read these praises again and again, 35 times. That's why I said, he blessed us in Christ richly, richly. Even John MacArthur, he says about this epistle, while he is preaching about this epistle, he said, Ephesians has been given such a title as the Believer's Bank. Another theme for this epistle is Believer's Bank. And he says, not only that, the Christian's checkbook. But sometimes you receive checkbook, they will write, like, no, 25,000, 30,000, 1 lakh. But no, on this checkbook, there is no number. Because the checkbook is not enough to write a number. That much richness is there in Jesus Christ. Christian checkbook. And the treasure house of the Bible. This epistle is called as treasure house of the Bible. This beautiful letter tells Christians of their great riches, inheritances, and fullness in Jesus Christ and in his church. It tells them what they possess and how they can claim and enjoy their possessions. Just you need to claim and enjoy the richness of Christ, what is there in Jesus Christ. But no, sometimes we won't see that. We consider ourselves as beggars. You know? We are considering ourselves as insignificant. No, you are not insignificant person. I know one man in Andhra, our village. He has lots of money. He gave money to many people. Like, no, those stamp papers, no, after taking loan, so they will write. So I will pay. I have taken this much amount. They will take like bond paper and they will write and give. He has this much bond papers in his house. So much, lakhs he gave. But no, do you know, brothers? He doesn't wear proper shirt. He has a teared lungi. And he doesn't wear T-shirt, shirt, always without shirt, going like beggar in the village. But people, when people see him, then they think, this person does not have money. But he has lots of money, but he is not using. He is not claiming that. The same thing is happening with us, right? We have riches in Christ, but we are not claiming, we are not understanding what a richness in Jesus Christ we have. How God blessed us. You feel happy, like, no, not happy. Is it okay Anil Ambani is coming by motorcycle or walking near the road? He has lots of money, right? He's a rich man. One of the rich men in the world. But he is walking like beggar. So Christians are like that. God blessed us richly. I am not saying about money. I am not saying about buildings. I am saying about spiritual blessings. What a great privilege you have, brothers and sisters. God blessed you in Jesus Christ. That is the message. One of the messages Paul is writing. Paul is writing. Don't think you are a beggar, insignificant, by looking at casino, right? Fisher, like ships, and bungalows, and villas, great villas. You know, again, this Panjim is the center of economy, right? Center of money, center of business, center of politics. But when you look at those things, center of structures, right? Great structures. People come to Goa to see those temples, Roman Catholic temples, where people worship dead bodies. Can you see that? So what happened when we look at these all things, glory of our city, when you look at yourself, what do you think? Are you, compared to these people, I am nothing. I have nothing. But I have something, but I am not greater than this man. Lots of money, right? Lots of money. But don't think yourself insignificant by looking at political power, people who have lots of money, people who are educated, huge constructions of temples, especially Catholic temples. So the key theme of this epistle is conduct, our life, that matches the great calling. Great calling. In so great calling, we have seen that these are all things. The great calling, result of the great calling, he saved us, redeemed us, sealed us, he gave us new life, he made us one body, and also he revealed the mystery, and he blessed us in Christ richly. When you understand this motivation, then you can walk. We can divide this epistle into two major parts. Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1 to 3 chapters emphasize doctrine, right? As I said before, 4 to 6 chapters emphasize conduct, our life. The first half is theological, the second half is practical. Then you can see outline of this book overall. You can take pictures, or you can read, you can make your own outline as well. Just, I brought simple way. The first outline, the precious doctrine, truth. That is the great calling, right? What you have in Christ. The salvation by the triune God. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. If you see, you know, how Paul starts, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Can you see these words? Salvation by the triune God. God called us. The Son of God redeemed us. The Holy Spirit sealed us. Not only that, chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, the new life in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 11 to chapter 1, chapter 3, up to 13 says, the one body of Christ. Look at verse 19 of verse two, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 19, which says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Can you see? You are household of God. You are family of God. But we are connected to different family physically. But do you know, brothers and sisters, we are all are connected to God's family. We are God's family. God is our Father. God is our Father. those truths he wrote in the scripture. One body. The precious prayer to powerful God. Can you see? Chapter 3 verse 14 to 21. Paul prays to God and he understood who God is. How powerful God is. For example, you can read chapter 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Can you see? This God is powerful God. If you worried about, can I trust this God? No, you can trust this God. This God is powerful. Powerful God. He is able to do, he is able to accomplish the things in your life, especially saving you from your sins. He is powerful. He is powerful. See, acknowledge. That is the doctrine. Like, no, salvation, the new life, the one body, and powerful God. Then after that, second part, precious practice. Practicing, right? You can see that. The practical duties, that is called life or conduct, chapter 4 to 6. The first, the practical duty is pursuing unity in the church. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 16. For example, you can see verse 3, which says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Can you see? The unity, pursuing unity in the church. That is our first primary responsibility. The second duty is pursuing holiness in personal life. Chapter 4, verse 17 to onwards, chapter 5, verse 21. Like, no, you have lots of sins mentioned there. You need to pursue holiness. For example, chapter 4, verse 22, it says, read along with me. Chapter 4, verse 4, verse 23, it says, 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, put on the new self, which is likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Can you see? He is telling, verse 25, you put off falsehood, you put on speaking truth. Then he says, you put off getting angry, you put on forgiveness. Then he says, you stop stealing from others. These things are happening in the church. People are stealing from others. So put off stealing, work hard, replace sin with godliness. That's what he is mentioning. He is helping us, really. He is helping us. Then he says, put on edifying words. Put off unedifying words. Then do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 30 it says. Can you see that? Paul is helping us. Paul is commanding us. You know the doctrine. You need to fulfill your duty. Pursuing holiness in personal life. The third one, fulfilling duties at home and at work. We can see that chapter 5 verse 22 to chapter 6 verse 9. I am giving big outline, big view of this book so that you can understand. All right, wives, submit your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Then parents, don't irritate your children. Then slaves, obey your masters. Masters, don't mistreat your slaves because they are working hard under you. He talks about that. Fulfill that. These are the practical duties. Then fighting against devils with God's strength. He talks about chapter 6 verse 9 to 17. Put on all the armor of God, right? Armor of God. Brothers and sisters, this epistle will build unity in our church and motivates us to be holy in our personal life. You want to live holy life? You want to lead holy life? Read Epistle of Ephesians. It will help you in your practical life. It will help us to fulfill duties at home and at work. strengthens us to be strong in warfare. We are fighting against devils, not with people. We are fighting against them. You need strength. You need to fight. That's what Paul says. You can see how doctrine helps us to have holiness, to have practical life. You can see that. I made some helping picture to you. Can you see the salvation, perceiving unity in the church, how we can have unity in the church? Then go back to the doctrine. What is the doctrine of? Then it goes, the body, one body of Christ, right? One body of Christ. God made us one body. If you understand the truth, what happens? Unity will come in the church. Then you need to pursue holiness in your personal life. What is the doctrine that helps you, that motivates you? Salvation by the triune God, right? Jesus died on the cross to save you. Why you are playing with that sin again and again? Stop doing those sins. Go forward. Don't crucify Christ again and again with that sin. You are saved. Christ saved you. But when you know that fact, what happened, brothers? You will pursue holiness. Not only the new life in Christ. If you have new life in Christ, if God gave you the new spirit, new heart in your heart, what happens? You have capacity to lead godly life. Sometimes what happens? No, I am weak. No, you are strong. You can do it. I am weak. I cannot pursue holiness. No, if you are born again person, you have capacity to live out. Because you completely, you are new creation, right? You are no longer old man. One who was doing those sins. God made you new man. You have capacity. You have power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to say. If you understood these doctrines, then you can pursue holiness. See, it is matching, right? Paul is not saying something else. He explained the doctrine. So based on these doctrines, you live out. Even this truth will help you to lead godly life, to lead a nice walk with God, godly walk with God. Nice. Then you can see that, the precious prayer to the powerful God. How you can fight against devils? Sometimes what happens, no? Some pastors, charismatic pastors, they say, they claim that, so I am going to bind this devil. How you will bind? Are you God? I think you are mad. You cannot bind devil. He is much powerful than you. But how we can fight against him? Again, go back to the doctrine of the power of God. Chapter 3, right? So when you understand who God is, you are able to fight against devil. It's not like taking knife and fighting with, in the dreams. I am not saying that. The Satan tempts us to do sins. Satan takes away our faith in Jesus Christ. When you are having faith, when you have sword, the word of God, when you have salvation, what happens? You can defend against Satan. So these all doctrines, amazing, right? While I'm studying, I notice these things. So these doctrines are helping us to walk in a manner worthy of the great calling. Can you see that? That is the message of Ephesians. Interesting, right? Please start reading this book. And fill your heart with the word of God, which is in this epistle. The unity is produced in the church by knowing the truth. We are one body. For example, you can see Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. When you understand this truth, then you can have unity. We won't divide church for our selfish reasons. Even though we are from different language, different place, but we are one body. When you understand this truth, the holiness is produced in our life when we understand the redemption of God. The fulfilling duties at home and work will be done when we understand the love and faithfulness of God, Christ towards us in salvation. Again, we can find, right? Fight against devils. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. How? Put on the full armor of God. Why? He says Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that he works within us. Because he is working within us, as a powerful God, we are able to fight against devil. So I want to give you some things. How does this book bless those who read it? Like no summary of this, you can see. I'm going to conclude. I don't think that I'm going very preaching for 2 hours. I know I am looking at the time, but you can see the things we can be blessed by this epistle. The epistle helps us to understand God's eternal plan and purposes for us. So if you read chapter 1, everything is God's plan, right? This epistle helps us to know our riches in Christ. This epistle teaches the significance of believers. Don't think that you are insignificant. When Paul is writing to Ephesians, what he is saying, do you know, brothers? You are looking at the temple, right? One of the seven wonders of the world, but you are better than that. You know, you are better, much better than that. Even though you are meeting in small hall and in small house, it looks like all are like dirty people and poor people and uneducated people. But even though you are uneducated, even though you are poor, even though you are meeting, even though you don't have nice building, structures, what you see in Goa, right? But you are much better than, not much, you are more better than those people. That's why Paul is writing, the richness, our riches is in Christ. This epistle teaches, helps sinners will be saved through this epistle, right? This epistle makes us true worshippers, as I said before. This epistle makes us holy men and women. This epistle helps us to have a godly family. Do you want to have a godly family? Christ-centered family? How wife should treat, respect husband? How husband should love? How the communication between like parents and children, that beautiful house, godly family. You want that godly family? This epistle can help you, teach you. Not only that, this epistle produces unity in the church. That's what most of the church lack, right, sometimes. The conclusion will be, I want to conclude with John Meek. This man was a former president of Princeton Theological Seminary. He was reading this epistle as a young person. He started reading. He was blessed by this epistle. Then he said about this epistle, "To this book, I owe my life." I think one of you can say, after studying this Ephesians, you can say, "I can owe to this book. Such a great truth I can learn." Then he says, he wrote like this, "I saw a new world. Everything was new. I had a new outlook, new experiences, and new attitudes to other people." See how he changed. Before he has bad attitude towards others, now he has new attitudes to other people. "I loved God. Jesus Christ became the center of everything. I had been quickened. I was really alive." Really alive. I am alive. Before I was like, I don't know where I am, but now I am alive. I am changed totally. This letter, this epistle changed. That's why John Calvin's favorite book of the Bible is Ephesians. God may help us. God may use us, use this epistle to build your faith in Christ, to claim all the riches of Christ in your life. And blessing God. And this epistle may motivate you to live out according to the calling. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. What a great God you are. Lord, we are insignificant. We are sinners. We deserve your wrath. Lord, what a great privilege that you have given to us. That you made us your children. You blessed us in Jesus Christ. And gave all the riches, spiritual riches, that is in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to understand this truth, to live out, to glorify your name, to walk in a manner worthy of the great calling, Lord, which that we have been received. Be with us, Lord. Encourage us from this epistle, Lord. Change our lives. Give us the new spiritual life. Help us, Lord, to be joyful people on the earth for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.